This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello, and welcome to Making Biblical Family Life Practical. I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
And we're going to be talking about taking biblical principles into the 21st century family. And we got one of those comments from one of our older sons not too long ago, and he said that thing which all older siblings say eventually: wow, you never let me get away with that. You never would have let me do that when I was that age.
Truth. Truth, we wouldn't have.
No.
But, you know, that's because everything was different.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we were new parents. He was
an only child at the time.
Yeah, that was the very first time we had been parents, and we're learning as we go.
You know, Hal, there are valid reasons to change your parenting style. I think he's thinking, you guys have become slack in your old age. But, you know, the reason we had changed was a good reason. You know, we had not handled it well with him.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I believe it was G.K. Chesterton said, when my information changes, I change my mind. Don't you?
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, it's one thing to be consistent when you are consistently right, but when you learn something that is new information or a better way, or maybe you find your situation changing, maybe that changes the right answer. And so, you know, let's look at that concept, that idea of, do you need to change your parenting style? I mean, could it be that this is time to consider making a change?
Well, sometimes you need to change because you've realized that, yeah, we didn't handle things well. We need to make adjustments. It may be that you were too permissive. Mm-hmm. It may be that you were too harsh.
Yeah.
But you need to adjust things. I talk to people all the time, and talk to so at length to a mom this morning who realized that she's got to make a serious change because her 14-year-old is so angry and their relationship is on the verge of breaking, and there's got to be some change in their relationship. And so sometimes you realize things have got to change.
Yeah, and you know, and I look back at that one son in question, you know, that we had some theories about parenting which reality intruded on. You know, we found out, no, there's a reason that our parents did something different, and that's because what we were trying to do didn't work. And I mean, to be real blunt about it, we were not doing a good job training this young man to be self-disciplined, to be obedient, to, you know, respectful and all the rest of that. And by the time it caught up with us, I mean, he was a handful. And, you know, thankfully we had a pastor who very lovingly said, let me suggest some resources here. And, you know, we kind of re-examined things and realized, you know what, we do need to take a different approach. And by this time he had a little brother coming along, and we changed our parenting style. And I think the subsequent kids, we had a better relationship. We had a better household because we were being better parents.
So let's talk about reasons to change your parenting style, and then let's talk about how you go about doing that with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's an issue. You know, when you change, you've got to communicate that to the kids. You've got to handle that. So let's talk about reasons first, and let's talk about ways to do it.
Okay.
And so one reason we just talked about,
we were doing something that didn't work. So let's find another way to do this.
Let's find another way. So sometimes you need to change your parenting style because what you're doing, you've got more information, or you've realized it doesn't work, or something.
You know, another thing is your situation changes.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe you have been a very hands-on, directive parent. Every waking moment, you're geared in on the needs of this one or two small children.
Yeah.
But then maybe you have twins. And so now you've got two twin babies and one exhausted mama and two slightly older children who suddenly you can't give them that much attention anymore. There's just not that much attention available. That suggests that, you know, maybe you need to change your parenting style a little bit.
Maybe they need more responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't give them as much supervision. They need more independence. you know, sometimes you got to change as your family changes, mm-hmm. you know, as you get more children, as you, well, you know, we're changing now because we're getting less children. Our children are growing up, leaving home. And I'm able to do some things with our younger ones I haven't been able to do for a while.
Yeah. And that's just the normal, the cycle of life, you know, that you have all little children.
Your family grows.
Yeah, your family gets bigger and then your family gets smaller. And then I guess we'll see what it's like when we have grandkids.
Yes.
Ooh, that's going to be an interesting adventure. But you know, that's it. One thing I thought about was God gave us six boys. Our first six children were all boys, and there's certain ways that you deal with boys. You have to be a little more firm, a little more challenging. You need to say, you know, whoa, stop. Don't go there. Don't touch that or whatever. You have to get their attention.
And, I quickly learned that if I didn't say no, mm-hmm. they didn't even hear me.
But you know what? Boy, I tried that with our first little girl. Oh,
she
my.
Burst into
it's
tears.
Like I broke her into little pieces or something. It's like, ooh, what is it? I'm not angry. I'm just trying to keep you from burning your finger.
But you have to be more gentle in handling the girls because they're so emotionally responsive.
They respond differently, or they respond at all, which is why you speak to them differently, and you have to learn a new set of tools for dealing with. Maybe it's the other way around. Maybe you've had girls and they've all been very compliant and obedient and want to please you. And then you get a little boy who said, no, I've got my own life to live here, even if I'm 3 years old. And you realize this one's going to take a different style.
I talked to a mom like that at a conference just recently, Hal. She'd had, I think, three boys, uh-huh. I mean, three girls and then a little boy. And she was just like, he doesn't listen. And I, you know, no, if you're saying, darling, don't do that. He's not going to hear you. He's not going to hear you at all.
You're not speaking his language.
No.
And so, okay, so maybe you were doing something wrong and you need to change and do something different. Okay, that's one reason. Maybe your situation has changed. You had girls and now you've got a boy. Maybe you had boys and now you've got girls. Maybe
you have more children, or sometimes it needs to change because you're just in a different situation. Like, mm-hmm. you know, when we were home most of the time, that was one thing, but now that we're out in public so much, mm-hmm. you know, I have to handle things a little bit differently with the children. You know, certain kinds of obedience become more important.
Right. And certain kinds of correction are more, you know, are something you have to handle more carefully as well, you know, because people misunderstand things.
Right.
And so all of that, that's real. And so, you know, here's another one. What if somebody gets sick? What if mom's got a high-risk pregnancy and she's on bed rest?
Oh, we've been there, done that.
We've done that. Did that change things a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? It changed things, I think, in a good way, that because you were on bed rest, it encouraged you to train those older children to take on more responsibility.
Oh, yeah.
To teach them how to do the simple cooking or teach them how to run the laundry equipment. You know, even if they're only 6 or 7 or 8 years old.
Well, you know, it was so good for them. I felt so distressed because I felt like I can't do the things I'm supposed to do. This is horrible. My children are going through this. But now on the other side of it, I look back and realize that all those bed rest pregnancies were really terrific for my kids. Mm-hmm. Because it forced me to let go and to give them more responsibility and to let them participate more in taking care of the family and doing chores. And it really made them far more responsible than most of their friends.
I tell you, I've seen the benefit of that as they have aged into their teenage years.
Oh, yes.
Because by the time they got to their teen years, they were used to the idea of helping, of being contributors, not just riding in the wagon, but helping pull the wagon in the family. And so, you know, that was one of those things where a change was forced upon us, but it was a good thing. And so, all right, so there's another one. Now, when you think about that complaint that, oh, you let the little ones get away with everything, you know, the specter of favoritism comes up. And you think about Jacob in the Bible and how he just blatantly favored Joseph and young Benjamin, his youngest sons, for different reasons. But the fact was he had 10 older sons that felt like they were getting the short end of the stick. And Joseph was the one who got the fancy new coat, and Joseph and Benjamin got away with everything, and we're the ones who are out working like grown-ups in the field. And
can I just say that's horrible?
You can, because it is.
It's horrible.
It didn't work out too well for Joseph, did it?
No, it didn't. It landed with him in slavery, but I think it's horrible to show favoritism to one child over another.
That is, and I totally agree with that. And sometimes you see that, you know, with parents who the baby gets away with everything, and it's not just because of these other reasons, but simply because the parents dote on the little one.
You know, I'm thinking of a situation that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And these two sisters are now in their 50s and 60s.
Right.
70s. They're older.
They're mature women by now.
And they still bitterly regard every interaction with each other. They have so much bitterness and hurt because their parents showed favoritism.
And, you know, that's not even the one that, even the one that's the winner in the favoritism, or like Joseph, you know,
yeah.
It ended up badly for Joseph. It
yes.
broke Jacob's heart for years. And you think, well, he got all of the advantages, but it didn't last.
And it didn't help.
It didn't help.
You know, and I think he would have rather had his brother's love and affection.
Right. And so we do want to be careful of that. But it's also a fact that as we grow as parents, as we go through life, well, you know, people always laugh about it. They tell these jokes and put these things out on Facebook about, well, with the first child, you did all of these things and you...
Well, first child drops the toy and you... the pacifier and you...
You throw it away and go buy a new one.
Yeah. The second child, you sanitize it. The third child, you stick it in your mouth.
Yeah.
The fourth child, you shake it off and hand it back.
Yeah. Right. Now, is that a sign of parents don't care anymore?
No.
Parents are too old to worry about it?
No. I think it's that parents got some perspective.
I think parents realize what's important and what's not.
Well, and they realize that, you know, kids don't generally die from a couple of germs on their pacifier.
Yeah.
You know, that you just get perspective. You learn that it's really not as critical as you think.
Right. Right.
You know, that it's going to be okay. And so you learn what hills to die on.
Because there are fights that you need to have. There are times when you have to say, okay, drop everything. We are going to resolve the situation that has just come up. This is the most important thing we can do right now, is deal with this attitude, those words, the thing which just happened. You know, that's everything. We're going to do that right now. But there's a lot of times, like I know in my own thinking, one of the things we ran into early on was the first time obedience idea, that people were very rigid, that their child had to obey to the second, instantly, whatever you said. And it didn't leave room for the child didn't hear you, or the child wasn't paying attention and didn't gather it. And, you know, the thing which I kind of realized later in life was that if my child's got a minor character problem, or if they've got a minor misbehavior problem that I need to deal with, I'm going to have plenty of opportunities. I don't have to fix it the first time I see it.
Right.
You know, it may not be a good time to deal with that.
Well, you don't have to ruin their birthday.
Right.
And deal with an issue because...
Or ruin somebody else's birthday.
Because it's going to happen again. You're going to have time to deal with it. And that doesn't mean that you get... That you just... One time you really harshly deal with something and other times you ignore it. You got to be reasonable and fair. But you don't have to crash and burn on every single situation that comes up.
And that brings up something I was thinking about too. You know, last year we went to the conference... It rolled out the results of the Gen 2 study, and one of the things they asked about was the disciplinary model that these young adults had grown up under. And the thing which I found interesting was those who grew up in permissive families had trouble in later life. Those who grew up in very rigidly disciplinarian families, sometimes they had problems too. The ones who seemed to have healthy relationships as adults, who stayed in the faith, that they lived out the faith in their adult life when they didn't have to anymore, those were the ones who said that they had a firm, consistent, loving discipline in their home, that they knew that their parents would hold them to account, but there was never any question that their parents loved them. Yes. And that their parents were consistent about it. It wasn't like, I can get away with murder this week, and next week I can't pick up a penny on the street because I'm stealing it. And so,
well, Hal, we need to talk about the most important reason you need to change your parenting, one of the most important reasons, and one of the most common reasons that every single parent's going to face this reason. But first, we need to take a couple of minutes to talk about our sponsor.
Well, we'd like to welcome a new sponsor this week.
Who is it, Hal?
This is SchoolhouseTeachers.com.
Oh, yay. You know what? I love Schoolhouse Teachers. We're mm-hmm. members, mm-hmm. and they have over 200 classes that you just get as part of your membership. Mm-hmm. And it's not like it's expensive. You know, it's $1 for the first month and $12.95 after that.
Yeah, and each individual child, there's no extra charge for it. You can add kids to it. You can have more kids. You can do more classes.
And you know what? I've been thinking, we have paid hundreds of dollars for one course online in the past, and here I can get any of 200 plus classes mm-hmm. for all of my kids, and they've got stuff that's preschool through high school.
Yeah, I was looking at high school economics a little while ago.
And I was looking at an art class for a child who's gifted in art, and it's all included. Plus, I saw they had over 10,000 videos too. It's cool, Hal.
That sounds like a deal. Okay, your first month is $1, $12.95 after that, SchoolhouseTeachers.com. All right, so welcome back, and we are talking about, is it time to change your parenting style? Are you guilty of changing your parenting style? Is it long overdue for you to change your parenting style? And you wanted to take this a slightly different direction.
Yes, you know, we need to change our parenting style as our children grow up, as our kids change, as they grow up, as they change their age. You know, when you are disciplining a three-year-old.
Right.
And they stomp their foot and say, no, I won't. You need to administer some biblical correction mm-hmm. right then, immediately, and without a whole lot of discussion. You need to teach them you have to obey your parents, but you don't try to get their agreement.
And that was a mistake I made early on because I thought, we have an intelligent child. I want to explain things so that my intelligent child will rejoice in the wisdom of his parents and will accept it as love and will be compliant because we are so awesome and we have an awesome relationship. And the fact is, three-year-olds don't work that way. Honestly. Yes. I mean, they don't. They need to know, hey, dad said this, do it. Mama said don't, you don't. And that's all that they need to catch up on here because, you know, the child walks out into the driveway in a parking lot and you call them back and they stop and say, why? I don't want to come back.
That's not a good idea.
That is a bad situation. So, yeah, your three-year-old, it's got to be directive, and it's got to be a very simple, mama said so, daddy said so, you do it.
On the other hand, you've got a hormonal preteen mm-hmm. who's losing it, and they're being disrespectful, and you say to them, you just get harsh. You don't want to talk about it. You just say, you be quiet right now, or I'm taking away your computer. Well, pretty soon you're going to be taking away everything they own and grounding them for 50 years because they're irrational.
They're irrational, and they are not responding. And, in fact, it sort of drives them off the other side of the road if you try to do that. And so
we need to change our parenting style as they move into those years, mm-hmm. and we need to talk more. You know, instead of saying, that's it, here's the punishment, like you would with a three-year-old, you need to say, hey, sit down, let's talk about this.
You need to, I think about talking them down off the ledge.
Yeah, you really do.
They are in such an emotional state. They're not teachable. You can't reach them.
They're irrational.
Until you calm them down enough. And then you can start to, you know, okay, this is why. And you still have to do it, but I'm giving you the explanation of why so you understand that it's not because I'm bigger than you. It's not because I'm meaner than you, but it's because God gave me authority, and he gave me wisdom and experience.
Because they need to start making that transition
right.
from, I'm going to obey because else I'll get in trouble, mm-hmm. to, I'm going to obey because it's right. And so they learn that by us talking things through.
And so what you do with your 11 and 12 and 13-year-old continues changing when they're 17, 18 or so, you know, to say, by that time, they should be transitioning into an independent adult role. And our parenting becomes purely a matter of counsel and advice.
Right. And so our parenting's got to change as our children age. Now, how do we deal with this, though, Hal? How do we carry this out? Let's say you realize, you know what? I have been too harsh or I've been too lenient. Things need to change around here. How do you tell your kids that?
Well, I think that there's a lot to be said for being open with your kids. Now, you don't need to be open about everything. Some things are too hard for kids to understand and it'll just worry them. But I think it's a reasonable thing to go to your child and say, you know, I am sorry. I have not been dealing with you like I should, you know, whatever the problem is. And explain, I am really sorry and I need to ask your forgiveness because I didn't know better, or I was dealing with a problem of my own and it was coming out in the way I dealt with you, but I want to do things differently now because I think this is the right direction. Right. We need to change course and here's an important thing, let's get on a more biblical pattern.
Yes.
And that's a really important thing because if you can relate it back to the Bible, not as a matter of, I've got this big black book and I can beat you in any argument with this book, but rather to say, this is the law of God, and I am following this because I am subject to God's commandments, and so are you. And so I'm going to help you learn how to do this yourself.
Yes.
Okay? But we're all obedient to God here. And then, you know, and then walk it out. I think that's a useful thing, particularly when they are, you know, 3-year-old, you don't need to do that with a 3-year-old. But I would say 6, 7, 8 years old even,
yeah,
a little bit of explanation to say, hey, things are going to change because of this.
Right.
And I think that's a very good thing to do.
I think so, too. And, you know, with those, a similar question is with those older kids who say, you wouldn't have let me do that. I think that's a great time to give them some instruction in parenting so that they'll understand these concepts that their parenting is going to have to change as they have kids. And so, like what I've done when I said that, I said, you know what? You're right. I wouldn't have. Let's talk about it. You see, when you were that age, this is what was going on. And now your younger sibling is this age. I have learned that that's not really as big an issue as I thought it was.
Yes.
Or when you were 2, yes, I did treat you that way. I did let you get away with that, but I didn't at 5, and this child won't either at 5. Or to say, you know, maybe you disagree with the way I'm parenting, but you're going to have to make some pretty tough decisions about your parenting one day.
Right.
How would you handle it?
Yeah.
And talk it through with them, especially an older teen.
And this is a good time to talk about the difference between commandments and principles, too. To say, you know, it's a commandment, honor your father and your mother. It's a commandment, children, obey your parents in the Lord. But there's a lot of things which are matters of principle. There are a lot of things which are just simply the way that we run our household. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, you can start to explain this to your older children as well, in particular, just to say that don't expect everybody is going to do exactly the same thing that we do right now. Okay.
Right.
There's a range that you can do that's biblical, and it's going to depend on the personalities involved, the circumstances and the society that they're in. Okay. Don't create commandments that God didn't give, but rather to say, you know, maybe we listen to a certain type of music. Maybe we don't eat certain things in our family for our own reasons, but God doesn't command that. Okay, and so we're not going to judge other people who have different views in a different situation.
Yes.
We're going to be faithful to what God has placed on our agendas, and then we give grace to the others, and maybe your situation will be different one day.
And so I think that when you do need to change parenting styles, you need to talk to your kids about it. You need to be really open, and you need to explain what's happening, explain if there's going to be new requirements or responsibilities for them. Explain why and discuss it with them, because you know what? It's their life, and a change of that magnitude can be pretty upsetting. You need to let them know you're not doing it whimsically, but because it's time.
You know, I think it's worth mentioning too in this. I look back at What was the world like when we first got married, when we were just out of college? What were the controversies the church was dealing with right then? And that was our generation of young people, young adults stepping out at that point. And I look at our adult children who are on that threshold themselves, and I look around and the world is different. They have different challenges. They have different controversies they're going to have to deal with. And, you know, the kind of things that we wanted, you know, the reasons maybe that we chose homeschooling how many years ago, 20 years and more ago, those have changed a little bit. There's some fundamental principles that still apply, but there are certain particular things we were concerned about, which are no longer the real heavy concern. They are other ones that have replaced them. And so as we talk through this process of how do you decide, how do you come to a settled position or at least a starting point on your own parenting? You know, you've got to go and look at the reality that you're faced with, and you have to apply biblical principles in the family that God's given you with the wife that you marry or the husband that you marry. They're going to be different personalities in your household than there were in ours.
Mm-hmm.
Your children are going to be different than you and your brothers and sisters were. Okay, so you've got to be able to adjust and adapt within the biblical pattern.
I wish I had understood that better when we were younger, that, you know, Christian parenting is not a one-size-fits-all thing, that there are definitely serious principles. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right, is a command. That's not debatable.
Thou shalt not bear false witness. That's right. A command. It's not debatable.
But how you discipline your kids, how you carry that out, there isn't one solid, complete answer, because it's about relationship, that every child is different and every parent is different and every situation is different.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more an art than a science.
That's a good way of looking at it. I think that's very true. And so much mischief has been done in the church by those who want to come up with a rigid program and say, that's the way it is. Here's your guarantee. 7 ways to have a perfect family by next Tuesday.
Oh, how. I remember reading things when we were young parents that made it sound like if you did not schedule your children's breastfeeding, that they would grow up to be unbelievers. I mean, crazy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That you do not see in the Word of God anywhere.
Right.
But they made it sound like if you didn't parent exactly the way they did, mm-hmm. your children were doomed.
I remember those books.
And it's not right. We need to give each other grace. We need mm-hmm. to be free to change our application of those principles based on the needs of the moment.
Well, and again, looking at the situation, you know what? I have friends who are like certified public accountants, and the stereotype plays out. They are so detail oriented. They are so particular. And you know what? It's perfectly natural for them to schedule every 15 minutes during the day. I can't live like that.
I would go insane.
I'm not going to live that way. But you know what? Maybe that's the way that family will work best with the personalities in their home. Maybe that's the kind of parenting style which is going to work the best for those parents. And guess what? Maybe they have children that are the same way. And they respond to that. And that's perfectly okay. But that doesn't mean that my more creative, boisterous, kind of random kids are going to respond to that. Nor do they have to.
Yeah.
And so we don't put expectations on each other that are not biblical. And this, you know, that applies to so many things, not just your parenting style, but it does come back to parenting too. Mm-hmm. So let's just kind of wrap this up. I guess so the complaint that you let the little ones get away with stuff, you never let me do that when I was a child. You know what? There's a flip side to that too. There's the little one saying, well, why can't I go do this that my older brother does? That's another discussion.
We need to talk about that another week.
Yeah. But
yeah, you need to change your parenting style. There are good reasons for changing your parenting style.
And they range from, I was doing it wrong then and I'm doing it better now, to you were a different child then than you are now.
Yeah.
And when you were little, the situation was different than when they are little right now. Yeah. Okay. And so all of those things, those are valid, and it's not a sign of weakness to see the situation's changing. I need to change and adapt as well.
That's right.
Okay.
Hey, folks, thank you for joining us for Making Biblical Family Life Practical.
Mm-hmm.
We will see you next week.
Yes. And if you like this, we want to encourage you to do two things. One of them, go become a subscriber on iTunes. You can find the link if you come out to our show page at halandmelanie.com/radio. And the other thing, if you really like this kind of content, you like these free programs flowing in there and encouraging you every week, how about let's pass the joy along to other people? You can become a sponsor as well, or you can become a patron. Come out to Patreon, patreon.com/HalandMelanie, and get the details of how you can become an ongoing patron of this program and get some free stuff too.
And we would be so grateful.
Yes, we would. Look, we do appreciate you joining us here. We hope you'll join us again next Monday as we look at how to apply practical concepts from the scriptures in the modern day American family. Until then, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
We'll see you again soon.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.